Pregnancy is a natural process, so if it's not happening or if it's not sticking, something is missing. After having a family member go through infertility and experiencing a miscarriage myself, I realized how little support and education women have around infertility. I want to change that. I'm Dr. Jane Levesque. I'm a naturopathic doctor and a natural fertility expert. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 a.m. for insightful case studies, expert interviews, and practical tips on how you can optimize fertility naturally. If you've been struggling with infertility, pregnancy loss, women's health issues, or you just want to be proactive and prepare yourself for the next big chapter in your life, this show is for you.
Today, I'm connecting with a colleague and a friend, Dr. Darren Schmidt. He's a chiropractic doctor, specializes in nutritional medicine. He has been in practice for almost 30 years. I have seen him speak at ECO, the CellCore conference that is hosted every year, and he always has the most fascinating topics. He's one of those guys that's always on top of research, and so I had to have him on the podcast. We are talking about some of the latest testing and supplementation and what we're seeing in the health field in the last little while. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hi, Darren. Thanks for being here.
Hi, you're welcome.
You've been in the game for almost 30 years. You said you started practicing in 98. That's crazy.
Well, started nutrition in 98, started chiropractic practice in 97, but I quickly went into nutrition. Yeah.
Yeah. So even, you're almost at it for 30 years. My first question to you when I have someone who's been in the game for so long is like, what are you seeing now that you didn't see 10 years ago or 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, definitely COVID makes people really sick for a longer period of time. Like before that, somebody had a cold or flu, it was really easy to fix that up. So that's way different. The other thing is our food is really, really toxic. I mean, obviously people are becoming more and more overweight because our food is hyper palatable. So it's designed by food engineers, food chemists to make us eat more and more. And I went to Ohio State University and they had a food chemistry department where one of my friends went through it and he became a chemist, and that was his job, to make food more and more palatable so you don't stop eating, you just keep eating. So that's a total disaster right there. So the more chemicals added to our food makes us sicker and more overweight.
Yeah, how has that changed your practice?
Well, the idea of food being hyperpalatable, it's new for me in the last 5 years, whereas before that I would say MSG is toxic, but it's not. There's a lot of chemicals in food that are not necessarily toxic, but they just keep you eating. Like even the colors of Skittles, you know, all the different food colorings and stuff. It's to attract you and make you think it's fruit, like berries, you know, or there's a chemical that they put in bread. So when you put it in the microwave, the bread becomes soft and warm. I mean, that chemical, you know, probably not toxic, but it makes you eat the bread because now the bread is so much more inviting and like cozy. So just all kinds of psychological, you know, chemical ways make people keep eating.
And then you're seeing the biggest issue with that is the blood sugar dysregulation and like inflammation that's causing from it.
Yeah, everything related to metabolic syndrome and high blood pressure and all sickness and weak immune system and can't detox. Yeah, it's our food is a disaster.
Yeah, I agree in terms of, it's funny, I've never actually heard it from the palpable perspective, but like that makes sense. So it's the addiction that makes it hard to stop. And then it also just makes you want to eat more, which obviously there's the chemical exposure, but you're saying it's also the volume. Am I understanding that?
Yeah, definitely. It's the volume is really bad. Yeah. And then the other thing is they're getting people to stop eating meat because meat is bad. Right. It's not bad. Meat is the healthiest food you can eat, but they use really bad science. The same science that they tell you, like back, you know, decades ago, they said was cigarettes were good or they weren't harmful. That kind of
they're
science.
They're not that bad.
Right. They used to say that cigarettes were good to help your digestion. But that science was called epidemiology. So they use the same quote unquote science to make you think that meat is bad and to make you think that the various shots are good. And, you know, it's like these large studies, like, you know, millions of people put together. But what about you as an individual? You know, it's just, and there's a guy named, he's at Stanford, Ioannidis, Ioannidis, John Ioannidis. And he is researcher of the research. And he says epidemiology is garbage, just total garbage, worthless. As a matter of fact, it's worse than garbage. It makes you think the opposite of truth. And and it's really easy to do. It's really cheap. Just send out surveys to people. Any like masters in epidemiology at the local school of public health can do it. Just send out a survey by email. And it's, you know, there's no control group. There's no controls. You know, then you do a bunch of math and you come up with some, you know, basically it's garbage. So, yeah.
Yeah, so
it's derailed us as in our healthcare society.
I mean, I think you've done some presentations at ECO as well about how it has derailed some of us as professionals as well, because it's hard to sift through all the research and to know what's what.
Right, and there's so much, you know, 95% of nutrition research is epidemiology. So you can find some research showing meat is good versus meat is bad, or, mm-hmm. you know, spinach is good or spinach is bad, because, you know, spinach has oxalates, and there's just too many variables. So the bottom line is, well, we got this new test that you can test yourself, which we're going to talk about, and you can just skip mm-hmm. all the Harvard epidemiological studies and all that, and just test yourself really cheaply.
Yeah, in my understanding is you've never really done any group stuff. You've always do one-on-one because you just see medicine as like such an individualized thing. Or is there general things that you're like, everyone should do this?
Well, there's generalized things now that I've figured out throughout my career. And so, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of my license, I quit taking insurance in 2005, so it's been 20 years now. That's my personal claim to fame, is that I survive in the free market. I actually get people well. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of other naturopath, you know, holistic doctors that do too, and I love them for that. And there's a lot of like medical doctors and other types of doctors, they take insurance and they don't get anybody well, but they retire with millions and millions of dollars in the bank account, and they never got a single person well because they got paid by insurance. So third party money causes trouble. So mm-hmm. I got rid of all my third party money. People pay me directly, and if I don't get people well, why would they come and see me? You know, like there's no reason, because they already have insurance, so they're going to use that money through the medical system. So having gone through that, I need to keep studying, and I came upon a lot of data. And you know, and behind my shoulder here, I got these books. These are old books from 1920s and 30s. I like to read those books on healthcare, medicine, and nutrition, because I think that the profession was more ethical back then. Then World War II came, and the drug companies got really strong after that. They were using antibiotics on the battlefield and saving lives. And then they just kind of took over. And nutrition research in the 20s and 30s was fantastic. And then just kind of went away until about keto. You know, the research on ketosis in the early 2000s sort of kickstarted, you know, some like diet research. So we're getting that. That's coming back up into gear. And then the supplement research was really kind of pathetic in the 1990s, and it really started to take off after 2005 and 2010. Now we're living in a time when the science of supplements and diet is really, really good and getting better and better. It's really exciting. So we got that going for us. And so it all comes down to mitochondrial function. So the mitochondria are in your cells, and they need to work well because that's where your body makes energy. If you don't have energy, you can't detox, you can't walk around, you can't have a strong immune
hormones,
system. All the hormones,
can't do anything.
All the stuff, having a baby.
Yeah, huge. That's it.
All that stuff. Yeah, you talk about that at ECO. It wasn't this last time, but I think year before.
Oh, wait. I mean, I don't think you can address, and you're in chronic disease, just so some people have background, but it's like that mitochondria, I think, and this is why I love CellCorp, where it's like, how come it took him so long to get it out of Todd that, like, the reason it was named CellCorp is because it's focusing on the mitochondria, and the mitochondria is the core of the cell. And it's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. But yeah, it's the core of the cell. And that's, you know, if you don't have good mitochondria, you don't have anything.
Right. So knowing the causes of why the mitochondria don't work well is what you and I are really focused on. And CellCorp has great products. There's other companies too. And then knowing the ins and outs of all that and practicing it, right? Applying it into people's lives so that they get better.
Mm-hmm. And practicing it in our environment now. Like that's the... Like I said, when I have people who've been in the game for 20, 30 years, I'm like, how has that changed in terms of like what I see? And I've been practicing for 10 years, but what I've seen in the last 5 years is like the complexity of cases is much greater. And maybe that's just me growing as a practitioner as well. But, you know, before you could get away with like two or three different supplements, whereas now most people have to take quite a bit, whether it's methylation support, mitochondrial support, drainage, binders, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm curious what you've seen in terms of that.
Yeah, I mean, the complexity of the cases is a factor. And honestly, the environmental problems include moldy homes mm-hmm. and then chemical exposure in the environment and then poor quality water with chemicals and radioactive elements like radium in it. So that stuff is not getting less. There's more sprays in the agricultural fields. There's more homes. That's 40% of buildings in the United States are moldy. So these are factors that kind of fly under the radar, at least at the national level. We got RFK Jr. as the head of the Department of Health and Human Services, and he's going after food chemicals, which is fantastic. And that's going to make a dent. I think that's going to help. But to really like have the bigger picture, we have to address the quality of the buildings. They're made out of paper.
Drywall,
basically paper. Yeah.
And then it rained, and then they're like, let it dry for a minute, and then we'll seal it all in.
Right.
Yeah.
And before that, it was plaster. Plaster walls do not grow mold, you know? And then I'm in this house now. And when I first moved in, high winds would blow shingles off the roof. So I had a roofer guy come out and he said they were high nailed. And I said, what's that mean? He goes, see this line right here on the top of this shingle? That is not where you put the nail. You put the nail below that line, but everybody thinks the nails go on the line. And I said, this is 8 years ago. Maybe 9 years ago. I said, when did this start? He goes, this is since the 1980s. All these roofers are high nailing the shingles, and then the water gets into the walls, into the structure, causing mold. We're talking 40 years of some kind of a industry-wide problem with roofers. So he fixed that. But
like most people don't know that. My brother-in-law is a builder, and I always ask, because I was like, do we actually need to change building material? And he's like, well, no, it really depends on... You can, obviously, but you don't have to. You just have to check the humidity level before you seal everything in. And most people don't. They just visually do a check and go, yeah, it's fine. Versus like it needs to be below a certain percentage. And then you can apply even certain things on the wall. I can't remember what he said. To then it like mold will ever grow on that. And it's just because we're trying to pop these houses so quickly or you're rushing or whatever, you're essentially are just not looking at. And even with electrical, we had issues with electrical in our house because they do a visual check, but they didn't like, hey, this wall over here is like whatever is going on in the wiring here. It's as high as you're living into in a power plant.
Microwave.
Then you're sleeping by that, and then so that was really valuable to just have somebody come in. And a lot of the times I find the problems are there because people are rushing, yeah, as opposed to like there's obviously good quality workers that know what to do, how to build and electrical and all that jazz. But yeah, it's a bit of a mess for sure.
Yeah, right.
So let's talk about, I mean, you've done some carnivore, you've done some ketosis. Tell us a little bit about, I don't want to say like what you recommend, but just what are you seeing as the most valuable thing for people to know in the nutrition space? Because let's be honest, there's so much noise. And so if we're now surrounded by all these foods that are making us eat more and then they're full of garbage and et cetera, how do we get out of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So to cut through all the noise, the single most important macronutrient for the human body is protein. It's not fat, carbs, ketones, or alcohol. And I'm a big fan of the ketogenic diet in some cases, and I do it myself. But if you don't have enough protein, you can't feed your body, you can't feed your muscles. Your muscles are the single largest organ in your body. It's not your heart, your skin, or your brain, it's your muscles.
Or your tongue. Your tongue is the strongest, but not the largest, hopefully.
Well, the tongue is mostly muscle.
Yeah.
But
they say that is the strongest muscle in the body, right? Because it can move like so much more than its body weight.
Yeah, I've never heard that. I never looked into that.
Okay.
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. So if you don't feed your muscles, then your little tiny thyroid doesn't have a chance. Your little tiny heart, adrenals, kidneys, sex organs, they don't have a chance if your muscles aren't happy. So, and then with this test that we'll talk about, MBX Plus, it'll pick up on that if you have enough amino acids in your body and if it's being digested and utilized. So beyond that, people will say, well, you need some plants to have certain chemicals, phytonutrients, fiber, chlorophyll. And I sell all this as supplements, but I have one rule, and that is meat is food, plants are medicine.
Love
so,
it.
Yeah. And people say, well, I need fiber to go to the bathroom, so I eat a lot of salad. Okay, fine. That's great. The fiber in your plants are medicine. There's a lot of people that don't need fiber, right? So, but as I've been running this test, MVX Plus, I'm finding more and more people are just simply malnourished because they're not eating enough meat and they're on like a vegetarian diet because it's supposed to be healthy for them. But yet I can, the numbers show me that they're malnourished. Mm-hmm. So that's been, super beneficial to discover that.
Yeah, I love that. It's protein, I think, is wildly underestimated. And then like, obviously the quality of protein and then what your body does with that protein really matters as well. So, I mean, let's talk about this MBX because you've mentioned it a couple of times. What is it? What's the test? How do we get it? All that stuff.
Yeah, MVX Plus is the official name of it. It stands for Metabolic Vulnerability Index. Mm-hmm. And it's available in the United States. It's really inexpensive. When I sell it to my patients, it's $89. And I have it set up on my website that anybody can buy it. Just go on the front page of my website, upper right corner, click on MVX test. Cool. And so my website's thenhcaa.com. And then for doctors, they can order it in various ways. I'm a big fan of professional co-op services. I order it from there because they're the ones that turn it on and have made it available to the public. Whereas before that, it wasn't available except for only to the government. And they did research on it for 30,000 people for many years. And so what it does is it tests six
factors. It's blood analysis, right? That work?
Yeah, blood tests. You have to be fasted when you give your blood. So just skip breakfast and go in the morning, get your blood drawn. Okay, so then it takes about a week. You get your results in a week. And so it gives you a score 0 to 100 for your overall health. And it's a score, right? Like it's a game. And the higher the number, the worse off you are. You want your score to be really low. It also, of these six factors, it'll guide you down the right path. Okay, so one of the factors measures toxicity. Another one measures infection and inflammation. Another one measures mitochondrial function. And the last three measure your B1 status plus sugar and protein, like how your diet's doing. And I mentioned B1 because it's the single most important micronutrient. So protein is the macronutrient, B1 is the micronutrient. And we can get into that too. That's really interesting information there.
Yeah.
So you run your first MVX Plus score, and you see what the number is, and you can look at the six factors and say, oh, I need to detox, or oh, I need to eat more meat, or whatever it tells you to do. And then you do it for a month or 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever, then you redo MVX and see if your score gets better. So when I first ran my MVX test, January 13th of 2025, my score was 55. Now, it was, and I felt terrible because I had a gas leak at my house for the previous year, probably longer, but at least a year.
What's the highest usually you see in the person that's like really unwell?
What's that? Yeah, what's that?
What's the score usually when it's really unwell, when somebody's unwell?
Well, unwell, I mean, it's a gradient range. So somebody who's really sick with cancer and metastasis to the spine is like 78. And then somebody who has been working on their health for 5 years, detoxing and doing all the healthy things, and their score could be 30. And it doesn't matter if you're, you know, 100 years old or 5 years old. Age is not a factor. What matters is your mitochondrial function and if your body's loaded up with the toxins or infections or inflammation or malnutrition. So it's all about mitochondrial function.
So 55 was bad for you because I was thinking like if it's out of 100, like is 98 like you're basically dead?
Yeah, 98 you're dead, yeah.
Okay, that's really sounds bad. Good. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I found the gas leak December 7th and I didn't change my supplements from December 7th to January 13th. I didn't do much other than I wasn't breathing in gas, and I felt better. But January 13th, I got my blood drawn for MVX. Again, I didn't change anything, and then 1 month later in February, I got my blood drawn again, and my score dropped to 31. So a huge drop, 24 points in 4 weeks just by not breathing in gas. And then the third
test... What was the gas again?
Natural gas out of my...
That's right.
Yeah, is in my home, outside of my home at the gas meter, right outside my living room window.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so then in March, my third test, I had a sinus infection, which I didn't know I had until the next morning when I woke up. So when my blood was drawn, I didn't know I had a sinus infection, but my score went from 31 up to 39, so that's bad. So again, it picks up toxins and infections. Okay, then my fourth test, it dropped to 29, and then my last one was 26. So I've run this on 350 people now. And my score at 26 puts me in the top, you know, top 15 out of 350 people. But when I was at 55, you know, I was like, I'd be in the middle somewhere. But the point is, in a few months, you know, if you do it right, you can drop your score and then you feel better, right? You become more active and it directs you down the right path, which is fantastic. And we got the supplements to help you, right?
Yep. Dropping the score because you're improving the infection or the inflammation or you're improving mitochondrial function. And that's why you feel better. And then the score obviously reflects that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yep.
So it tracks your progress. It guides you down the right path. And it'll actually give you the percentage of your chance of dying in the next 5 years. So when my score was 55, my chance of dying in 5 years was at 20%. And then my score at 26, my chance of dying is at 1%. So yeah, you can significantly increase your lifespan. And now here's the other thing. There's a lot of tests online you can buy into that measure how long you're going to live. So they're looking at risk factors and looking at VO2 max, like your fitness. And that's not nearly as important as these six factors. Yeah, because that's all about mitochondrial function. So now these six factors of mitochondrial function or dysfunction, you and I have been studying this our whole careers and all the way back to 100 years ago. So even in the 1930s, they talked about vitamin B1, 1920. I got a book from 1929 talking about how important it is to have enough B1 in your body. And then that, you know, and so B1 affects four of the six factors of MVX. So this data is 100 years old. So in 2018, I came up with what I call the 7-step blueprint to optimal health. So that's kind of like my plan to get people healthier. And MVX lines up with that exactly. So my 7 steps lines up with the 6 factors of MVX. So it's like a, you know, if you have truth, it's like a universal truth, right? Yes. You get the mitochondria working well. And so I figured that out over my career. And then these other researchers at LabCorp, they figured out MVX over their career. Like where it's still like 30 years that they put all this together. Totally. Yeah, so it's just fantastic. It's like so true, right? Like this.
That must have been a big eureka moment for you.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah, that was a good day when it all came together. Yeah. Is it, you know, so my brain right away goes to, okay, if it's marking a toxin, do we know which toxin that's causing the issue? Or do you do further testing to figure that out? Or what infection, like is it yeast versus parasite versus, you know, viral, bacterial? Right. Does it go down? Because obviously you don't just do the test and you're like, okay, it is an infection, but then you have to know what infection it is and then, you know, how long to treat it for and all that jazz.
Right, you have to do further testing to get more data on that, yeah. So do you want me to go over some labs that I...
Yeah. Like, what do you do? How do you... Because I love the test that shows us the general direction, but, like, it's in my cases that I see, it's never an end-all and be-all. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's it, and we don't have to do anything, and you're just going to go this way. So I'd love to give a bit more insight.
Sure. So in MVX, one of the factors is called small HDL particle number. And if it's too low, that's bad. And it indicates toxicity. So then I like to run the Cyrex Array 12, which has 28 different organisms, including mold, yeast, candida, virus, bacteria, parasites, Lyme. So there's that. And then another factor is called glyc A. That's infection and inflammation. So to drill down inflammation, I run a panel on LabCorp called Hypercoagulation Panel. And there's two of them on LabCorp, but one of them, that's the one that I run, is called Hypercoagulation Panel -Esoterics. So this is a panel that they purchased from a lab called Esoterics, whereas the other one's more for warfarin, the drug. So regarding infection, I'm sorry.
Toxin.
Yeah.
Infection. You said infection, yeah.
So Cyrex, I messed this up. Cyrex Array 12, that's for the infections, right?
Yes, okay, that's... That makes more sense.
And that's glyc A. Yes. Glyc A is infection and inflammation. And then small HDL particle number, that's toxicity. Okay, so let me correct what I had said 2 minutes ago. So toxicity, further testing is the total tox burden from
Vibrant
America. And then there's 4 other factors. One of them is called citrate, and that has to do with mitochondrial function because citrate is the big molecule in the citric acid cycle, which is the first part of mitochondrial function. So in order to measure mitochondria, you can do the O test, organic acid test. And then the last 3 come together as the branched chain amino acids. And I don't really do a further lab testing for that. I just give people the right nutrients, whether it's a branched chain amino acid powder or just eat more meat or fix their stomach, fix their gallbladder, add B1 to fix their digestion. And that, you know, those can get improved in a matter of a few weeks or a few months.
Huge. I love it. Yeah. And so then you basically using the MVX Plus to assess the progress, so then you don't have to retest things on a regular basis like the bigger panels.
Yeah, you can retest those in a year or something, but...
Yeah, but you're not going to do it every month.
Right. Yeah, MVX Plus, it seems like I'm doing it about once every 6 weeks.
Nice. And so is it fair to say that, like, every time you're retesting it, you should be seeing an improvement? Unless, like, it's a sinus infection that you weren't aware of?
Right. It's fair to say that you should see improvement every time you retest. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you could say, let's say somebody has a severe amount of toxicity and you start them on a detox program, but you're missing drainage. So their kidneys and liver are kind of stressed out. It's possible that they can get worse in, you know, on their overall score, because as a clinician, you're not, you know.
Well, you're missing a piece of a protocol.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I just had a patient, he had to do 2 stents, and he got put on 7 medications for his heart. He's like a hardcore type 2 diabetic, you know, just, he's a mess, right? Eating tons of sugar. And his MVX score got worse significantly because of the surgery, right? That makes sense. So now my job is to, you know, help him get better. So they put the stents in, maybe they saved his life, but now it's time to actually get him healthier. And the MVX will guide me down that path.
Yeah, how do you go about, I mean, it's all really good in practice, right? But when someone is really addicted to sugar, like, it's a big issue. Is there anything, like, what's your approach? And I'll give you an example of sometimes when I have my male clients, so like I'll work with couples with my male clients, sometimes I almost need to trick them into eating healthier. Like I'll start switching their supplements and find a hook in something that's easy for them to do, because I know as they start doing it, they'll feel better. And then we can have the motivation to, quote unquote, change the diet, because sometimes the diet is like the hardest part to change. I don't know if you find that as well.
Yes and no. I mean, I tell men to eat the carnivore diet, mm-hmm. and they're always super happy about that. And my, and that's, these are people, okay, these are my patients, right? They pay me a lot of money to take my advice. And so they do what I tell them to do, basically. So men, carnivore diet. And then for women, it's a bit different. And the addiction to sugar can have more of a hold on them. So I have them increase their meat, their protein. And of course, we're always looking for getting rid of candida or parasites, because they can make you crave sugar.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then with the hormonal stuff on a monthly cycle, that can make people crave sugar too. So, you know, I got herbs and stuff to help out with that. So it's a bit more finessing for the female patients.
I think you just said the most important part about like why patients listen to you. It's like, well, when you pay somebody a bunch of money, like you're going to listen to their advice. And so the people who are, you know, I always say like, I want to cut through the noise, because there's a lot on the internet. But at the end of the day, if you're in the phase of your health journey where you're just like trying things out and seeing if it works, it's very different when you commit and you say, hey, I'm going to like pay this individual and I'm going to take their advice, because now you have skin in the game, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And the more you charge them, the more compliant they are.
It's weird.
That's, I mean, you know, it's an investment, so you want to get the return on investment.
Totally.
Yeah, and you know, I used to charge less, and we would have people dropping off faster because it wasn't so valuable to them.
For sure.
That's just the way it is. Yeah.
Psychology, yeah.
Right, yeah, look at go ahead.
No, you finish, because I'm going to change gears.
Well, okay, I was just going to say there's been a lot of discussion about tariffs in the last few months. And then the Chinese people on TikTok are like, hey, we make these bags and we ship them to Italy. And they put like a Gucci name on it or something. Or you go, we're making the bags. And then you buy them for thousands of dollars, but we make them for $5. Like that's the psychology of it. The higher the price, the more valuable it is. But again, our services are the most valuable services, because we're actually fixing the root of problems. We're fixing the causes. We're fixing the mechanisms. We're fixing the mitochondria. So we're doing the best work in healthcare for long-term health.
Yes, for sure. And I do think that there's a lot of growth for us as practitioners. Like, it took me a while, and genuinely, it's the type of people that we are is like, I'm obsessed with how the body works, and it's figuring out like what it's trying to tell me. And like, those are just things that I like doing, and I don't stop thinking about it. You know, when they're like, you should take a vacation and stop. I'm like, I can't stop thinking about my life. Like, that's just how I think about the world. I look at someone and I'm like, this is how they eat, and this is what they're doing, and this is how, and you know, which one was it, the chicken or the egg, that's just what I paid attention to. And then I found naturopathic medicine, which allowed me to then make it into a career, versus as a naturopath, you're trained to look for, you know, the imbalances and all of that. I think it's the other one first. Like, I was obsessed with how things look and how they do. And then I found naturopathic medicine to help me express that. And yeah, the money thing is I think there's a lot of growth for us as practitioners, but also just, hey, letting people know the value that we actually provide for people, because it's huge.
Right. Yeah.
Talk about B1, because you had, I don't think anybody really knows about B1, to be honest. And I've kind of like heard about it until obviously hearing you speak at ECO and then going deeper into it, but not as deep as you go with some of your charts.
Yeah, so
and diagrams.
Yeah, so with B1, okay, I talked about that gas leak I had in my house. And like I said, it was in the gas meter outside of my living room window. So I never smelled gas in the house. Anybody who came to my house didn't smell it. And it depended on the wind. So the wind would blow into the living room, kitchen, down the hallway, into the bedrooms. So there were many mornings, and it's west to east, like that's our prevailing winds. So there were many mornings I woke up and my heart was tight. But anyways, last year, May of 2024, I went to the ER May 18th with crushing chest pain, 8 out of 10, high blood pressure, left arm numb, left leg numb. I thought I was having strokes. I couldn't breathe. And I was doing very poorly March, April, and May of last year. And I would go to the gym, drive my car to the gym, sit in my car for 30 minutes, couldn't breathe, and I would just drive home. Like, I couldn't even go walk into the gym. Like, it was terrible. So when I went to the ER, they found nothing. I spent 5 hours there, and they charged me $10,000. We did a CT of my brain, couldn't find any stroke. They kicked me out. I was disappointed that they wouldn't give me blood pressure drugs. I wanted something. I wanted drugs. And they said, you don't qualify for any drugs. So luckily, I'm in this profession. 10 days later, I'm with a patient, and she says to me, she goes, oh, by the way, I'm very happy because I've been taking high doses of B1, and all my neuropathy is gone. And I was like, wait a minute, I have neuropathy in my left arm and leg. Maybe I need high doses of B1. And I carry it. I've been carrying it for 15 years. So I muscle tested for it. That's the procedure that we do. Anyways, I found the need for, I needed three. So I took three. And within 1 hour, I was breathing easier. It was amazing. So I kept taking three all summer, all fall. And then December 7th, I found the gas leak. Within 2 weeks, I was 95% better just on the B1, even with the gas leak occurring and probably getting worse through the summer and fall.
Was this patient a patient of yours? Like, did you put her on the high dose of B1 and
no.
You just didn't connect the dots before someone else put her on it?
She put herself on it for 4 months, okay. Right? Yeah, so thank God for that. You know, like, I'm so, I swear, if I wasn't in this profession, I'd be dead twice because I had mold in 2016. And I went to the cardiologist for that. I got four EKGs in 2016. Why is my heart causing so much pain? Like, what's causing the heart pain? So when I learned about B1 and I wrote an ebook about it, and I was like, this is the most important nutrient by far. And I read a book, and actually, matter of fact, it's right here. I can show you.
Please.
So this book right here, Thiamine Deficiency Disease, Dysautonomia, and High Calorie Malnutrition. That's the premier book on B1. And in the book, it says that B1 deficiency is endemic, meaning everybody has it, which, you know, pretty much is true. But there's no particular specializing supplement company that has B1 in their products. Like, I've been paid by a variety of supplement companies to talk about their products, and their products are great, but nobody pays me to talk about B1 because everybody has it, right? Like, it's 100 years old. So why would, and there's no attention on it, but here it is, the most important nutrient, I think. And so
I was just going to say, do you think the deficiency is worse now because of that high calorie malnutrition versus like 100 years ago? Was the deficiency the same?
Absolutely. So in my books here, when they talk about B1, I got 6 books here talking about B1 between 1929 and 1953. And the high doses, even in the 50s, high dose B1 was 20 milligrams. And now I took 750 milligrams a day for 6 months. And that was a version of B1 called benfotiamine, which wasn't even invented until the 1960s in Japan. So what are the causes of B1 deficiency? You know, all the toxins, parasites, coffee, tea, alcohol, and then the high calorie malnutrition, that's processed food with very little or no B1 in it, but yet high calorie carbohydrate count. So the carbohydrates require B1 to digest. And then just stress. Stress gets rid of B1. So our lifestyles get rid of B1. So I've put a lot of people on B1. I put about 300 to 400 people on B1 in the last year with fantastic results. But yet, you know, and again, a lot of my patients, they've been through the parasite cleansing. They've been detoxing. You know, they have like a kind of a baseline of a clean body. And their body is ready for really good nourishment. So that's where the B1 and the increased protein comes in. So it's been absolutely fantastic as a clinician, as a holistic doctor. It's been great.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned the dosage, because I think the dosage, like, there's a big difference between taking 20 milligrams or 100 milligrams and like 750 milligrams. And it's not that you'll still get better, obviously, because you're getting some versus none, but it just takes so much longer to actually get rid of the deficiency now. Like, it can take years, right, to rebuild versus if you're doing it at a higher dose.
Well, it takes years to rebuild if you are severely diseased, like you have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. And there are studies showing how B1 can reverse that in some people. So really deep neurological B1 deficiency, but also B1 stimulates mitochondria should just work. Mm-hmm. But most people who are, you know, they see us, they get detoxified, right? Their parasites are gone, their candida is gone, their mold is gone. They only need B1 for about 6 months. Maybe a little bit longer, but not longer than that. But if you still have parasites, candida, mold, toxins, then yeah, you might be on B1 for years and years.
Yeah, but you should probably address that.
For sure, definitely address that. Yeah, clean the body out first and then nourish. Like that's kind of like the bigger picture is detox, then nourish. Now, I mean, always there's always exceptions to these rules, but yeah, certainly put B1.
You're always nourishing to some extent. Do you know what I mean? Like you need protein to detox. And so it's like right. You are nourishing, but the way that I see it, what you're saying is like, when I give people nourishing things while we're detoxing, the body is not using it to build itself up. It's using it to detox.
Exactly. And
then, exactly. So then yeah. Like once the stuff is gone, then you're still eating or consuming in whatever form the nutrients. Now the body can rebuild itself instead of focusing on detoxing because the pathogen is out of the way or the toxin is out of the way.
Yeah.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah. Anything else that we missed that you feel the need to share with the world?
Regarding like MVX Plus or B1?
Yeah, B1. Or anything about Darren.
Like I said this before, but B1 is vital for 4 out of the 6 factors of MVX. So when...
Mitochondria? Inflammation?
Well, nutrition. So yeah, definitely mitochondria, that's citrate in MVX. But the last 3 factors of MVX are the amino acids, valine, leucine, and isoleucine. Mm-hmm. So those are called branched chain amino acids. And when they go up in the blood, that means that they're not going into the mitochondria and they're not being utilized. So they end up in the blood. Why is it in the blood? Well, because they're not entering and they're not being assimilated and digested. So when that happens, those 3 amino acids high in the blood tells the liver it can't defat itself. So now you get fatty liver. And then when you have fatty liver, you have insulin resistance, high glucose, high blood pressure.
I mean, everything just goes.
Yeah, metabolic syndrome. So people blame the diet, which is true, because high calorie malnutrition causes a B1 deficiency. So then you go on a keto diet, which I'm a huge fan of, keto carnivore. But the keto diet specifically has been shown to reduce fatty liver by 31% in 6 days. So you do the keto diet and add B1 because the keto diet doesn't work on its own. You got to add in the nutritional, you know, the high dose B1. So you're using high dose B1, you know, nutraceutically, right? Like it's, I'm not going to say pharmaceutically because it's not a drug, but nutraceutically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now B1 is needed in 5 biochemical reactions in the mitochondria. So when you get that, including step 1, which is getting what's called acetyl-CoA into the mitochondria. So it's a rate-limiting factor. If you don't have enough B1, you can't do step 1 in the mitochondria. And this is true for all the cells from head to toe, including the nervous system. Now, the nervous system is the brain, the nerves in your arms and legs. But from your brain stem, you get the vagus nerve, which comes down to your organs in your torso. So your nervous system controls your gallbladder function, stomach, you know, stomach grinding.
Everything.
Everything, pooping and sexual function and intestinal, all this stuff. Sweating, that's all nervous system stuff. So B1 can help all that. And but like I'm headed towards digestive function. So you can add in B1 and your whole digestive function works better. And then you can digest your protein better. So B1 lowers branched chain amino acids and that helps defat your liver. That helps get rid of fatty liver and all that. So it's like... These are big picture items that all come together, and you gotta kind of know. I know all these things, right? Like at a deep level, and they all just work together. So I was watching a TikTok video, and this poor girl, she was in her 20s. She's got POTS, you know, where you stand up and you feel dizzy. So there's a study. She got involved in this study at the hospital, and she's talking to the medical doctor, And, you know, I'm sure the study might be $1 million, right? The house was going to make a lot of money on the study. So the medical doctor told her, oh, drink more water and exercise. It's like, that's not going to do it. It's mold, candida, toxins, right? Like that, like, how about eat more bread? Like, what else are you going to, what other stupid advice can you give to a person with a chronic illness? And I, you know, like, it's just the most ridiculous.
So what I'm seeing now is that oversimplification of anything, like, oh, it's just my ovulation that's off, or it's just my this, or I just get dizzy, where for someone like us who is obsessed with understanding how the body works, then we have 1,000 questions for that person, right? Because we want to know how they're sleeping, what they're stressed like, their exposure, their past, all of this stuff, where to somebody who's not trained and they're trained to just prescribe pharmaceuticals, they're going to say, oh, there's a pharmaceutical for that. And I think like now is a really good age. Like you said, RFK is going to make a dent, but also for us as practitioners to step up and be like, hey, this is how the body works. Like we know this and you can live in it. You live in it every day. And here's the proof. And if you do this, this is, you know, you test this and you do this, you're going to feel it. It like, I don't want to say it's embarrassing, but like there's certain things that the doctors will say now. And I'm like, it's embarrassing that you're still saying that with the amount of information that we have. And I'll use, because this just happened like yesterday, but I had this poor woman freaking out because her husband's sperm analysis said he had zero like sperm that was moving, but everything else was great. And I'm like, look at the time that he collected and the time that analyzed. And it was a day later. So they analyzed dead sperm. And this poor woman is like, I'm never going to have children. Like my husband's sperm is dead. And it's like, no, that lab is shit and you need to redo it. And like, I can't believe you trusted that doctor. And, you know, like in our day and age now, we just have so much information. There's no way. I just think like people are not going to be able to get away with this. And they shouldn't, because it's like, that's why we're in the fucking mess that we are in. Pardon my French, but it's like, we're in a mess because we've just been given such poor advice. Oh, don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
This is 100 years old, this information I'm talking about. Right. But
which is what I love about you. It's like 100 years old. That's crazy. Like this stuff has been around for 100 years.
Yeah, and it's physiology. Yes. Right? It's
how the body works.
Exactly. It's how the body works. And so if you have a broken car, you got to know how the car works in the first place in order to fix it. You don't just drug it or mask the symptoms of a broken car. So, but as opposed to medical school where they have very little physiology, they do have pharmacology, right? Or maybe pharmophysiology or some BS like that. Like how do the drugs affect your body? Right. Yep. And the body doesn't like that, the drugs. So then they keep blaming the body. Oh, it's your body. It's your genetics.
It's just the way that you responded. It's bad luck or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's your genetics. It's your personality. It's your age. Yeah. I have a guy now, African-American, super dynamic and interested in his health. And it's like, you know, there's this like idea in my head. He's got high blood pressure. Right. And I know there's genetics there. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Huge. Yeah.
We got to make this work. And so last fall, when I saw him, we talked about teeth. He's got 4 fillings. He got those fixed in the wintertime. And then I saw him again like last week. It had been many months since I had seen him. But yeah, blood pressure went from 150 over 90. Now it's like 130 over 80 because he got his fillings taken out of his face. Right. Like that's physiology. So
he's not swallowing poison every minute.
Yeah, he's not swallowing mercury, one of the most toxic substances on planet Earth for humans. It's like, you know, thankfully we got that nailed down and he's got it fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. People like us, Darren, we're going to make it happen. We are making it happen.
Yeah. So with MVX, it gives you that overall score, plus it gives you the other numbers and stuff that you can look at. But you can set this up as a challenge, whether, you know, within your family or within your group. You know, it could be talking about like a congregation of a church or whatever. You run the MVX and you see who gets better faster. And then I need to train up a lot of doctors. I've done 3 trainings now. I got another one coming up in a few days. And so the doctors are super excited about our kind of doctors. Our holistic doctors are so excited about it. So that's a lot of fun. It's you can create some competition with that, you know. Now there was a study
good
done
competition. Good competition.
Free market mm-hmm. competition. Like that's what the entrepreneurship and free market's all about, is really good competition. So there's a study done at Duke University where they ran MVX and they gave a bunch of people statin drugs and it lowered their LDL cholesterol. They re-ran MVX and it did not lower MVX. It did not help it. So statin drugs don't make you live longer. They don't improve your health.
They don't improve your quality of life.
Huh?
They don't improve your quality of life.
Yeah, they may give you comfort. I think a lot of therapies give comfort.
Yes.
Right? Merely comfort. So they did not publish that study. They never will publish that study. because there's a failure on the statin drugs. But here's another super interesting research study they did with people exercising. They had four groups of people, one control, one did mild, and then moderate, and then heavy exercise over 8 months. And guess what? It did not lower their MVX either. So exercise is not such a factor. Now, they had lower glucose and they had lower insulin resistance. But exercise is too superficial. It doesn't actually detox the metals and chemicals and parasites and candida and mold. And it, like, that's the thing. So again, when I had the gas leak or when I had the mold, I could exercise every day for an hour and I would never get
better.
That wouldn't
help it. Yeah. Huh? That wouldn't help it. And I was just going to say, like, are you telling people not to exercise? Or are you telling? I know.
Priority is to detox and get your body clean. Yeah.
Yes. I love exercise. Because then you'll want to exercise. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Now, here's another thing about exercise. This is a realization I just had. Exercise, the most important aspect of exercise is to increase your appetite and then to eat more protein. And
I mean,
there's other
protein
benefits too of exercise. It makes you feel good. It makes you look good naked, that kind of stuff. But you want to exercise to increase your protein intake.
It makes you crave protein.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. I love it. Tell people where people can find you.
My main website is thenhcaa.com. My social media postings are primarily on YouTube, so just go on YouTube and you can search my name. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you have some fascinating
Thanks. I'm creating a membership site for doctors, and we're going to talk about MVX. We're going to talk about our successes using it, and my plan is to have like big symposiums where people talk about MVX and they go up on stage and they say, hey, I got this patient who, here's the score, and then we did this and the score got better, and like that kind of stuff.
Amazing. Well, thank you for being here and sharing your knowledge, and I had some good light bulb moments, so I hope my listeners do too.
Yeah, thanks, Jane. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. To read the full show notes of this episode, including summary, timestamps, guest quotes, and any resources that were mentioned on the episode, visit www.drjanelevesque.com/podcast. And if you're getting value from these episodes, I'd love it if you took 2 minutes to share it with a friend, rate, and leave me a review at www.ratethispodcast.com/Dr. Jane. The reviews will help with the discoverability of the show. And who knows, I might share your review on my next episode. Thank you so much for tuning in, and let's make your fertility journey your healing journey.